Good evening. I just want to spend a few minutes discussing with you some aspects of purchasing a lulav and esrog. There is a sale outside. It's a B'nai Akiva lulav and esrog sale. And as you know, Sukkos is coming, and everyone who would like to get a lulav and esrog, if you buy here in the shul, so you actually are supporting B'nai Akiva, and that's strongly encouraged. People are often very and you support the shul also a bit.
I think so.
Right, we think so. So, people are very nervous about getting the esrog. They say, you have people who spend literally 25 minutes, half an hour, looking at an esrog to make sure that there are no problems in the esrog, that it's clean, there's no black dots. And in fact, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that if there's a black dot in an esrog, it could be a psul, and the top part of the esrog is much more chomer than the lower parts. But Rav Schechter holds, and I think this is the majority opinion, just people are just very nervous today. Schechter holds that the only time that there's a psul of a black dot on an esrog is if that is the beginning of rat. Meaning to say, the average black dot that we have on our esrogim today, it does not mean that the esrog is beginning to rot. It means that there's some extraneous material that's stuck onto the esrog. It's not going to be a psul. Now, it might not be the most beautiful thing in the world. And if you can find one that's perfectly clean, obviously that's more of a hiddur. But don't make yourself crazy. Don't think that the esrog is going to be psul if there's a black dot. 99.99999% of the time, that esrog is going to be perfectly kosher. So buying an esrog is really not so difficult. The real psul that could be with an esrog is that it's not an esrog. In other words, if you have an esrog that is murkav, if it's grafted between the esrog and the lemon, so that's not an esrog. But all the esrogim over here have a very fine hashgacha, right? We are trusting the sellers that these esrogim are not grafted. Therefore, you don't really have to be so nervous. The esrogim, odds are it could take you 45 seconds or a minute to be able to choose a nice esrog. Not such a big deal. A lulav, now we're talking, right? So to find a lulav, that could be a difficult issue. The lulav should be green. The lulav should be perfectly straight. If the lulav curves in various directions, it's potentially a psul. There are a few issues that come up with lulav that are common. One issue is that there's a din in the Gemara and appears in Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Memhei Seif Gimel called Nechlokat Tiyomes. Nechlokat Tiyomes means that the Tiyomes is split. There's a machlokas mechaber Rama, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. What is a Tiyomes? Going to a Sfaradi, a Tiyomes means the majority of the leaves are split, and the majority of the leaves are split the majority of the way. That's the only time there's going to be a problem if you're a Sfaradi. As if you have something like that, you call it a broom. That's not a lulav, right? So Nechlokat Tiyomes for a Sfaradi practically is non-existent. For an Ashkenazi, Nechlokat Tiyomes means that that central leaf, that middle leaf, is split. Me'ikar hadin, the problem is only if it's split all the way down until the shedra. In other words, the shedra is like the backbone part of the lulav. You can see there's an area where from there on it's all leaves. You don't really have any more backbone. If it's split down to that point, that's when there's a psul me'ikar hadin. However, the Rama says that you should be machmir even if it's split less than that. What does that mean? According to the Taz, that means it's only going to be a problem if it is split a tefach. Tefach is about 3 inches, right? That's going to be rare. Although actually last year I found one, the two of them, that were mamish puzzle, that they were split all the way down to the shedra. I found one that was like very exciting. And you can occasionally find one that's split all the way, that's split a tefach. Others assume, and the Magen Mishnah sounds this way, that even if it's split a mashahu, it's going to be a problem. And the real concern over here is it's not a problem with Ikar Hadin. The concern is that when we shake the lulav, whatever split there is will widen. Therefore, there are some poskim. Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, Zechron Levrach, who was one of the dayanim of the Badatz Eid HaRedis, used to recommend that you could buy a lulav with a tiny split in it and just put some crazy glue in. And you hold the lulav together, and that's going to like be amazing, and that's going to be like a great thing. I don't recommend doing this. It's just weird. So we don't recommend gluing your lulavim. But there is another way of making sure that the lulav is completely not split. And there is a brown substance on top of the lulav. It's called kara. No one knows exactly where this name kara came from, but that's what they call it. It's like a brown substance that's found on top of the lulav. What's the status of this brown substance? So there is a tradition that they say from Rabbi Yoshev Zichrono Livracha that you have to remove the kara. Lulav with the kara is not a good lulav, because since more than 10% of the lulavim are genuinely pasul, you have to remove that kara and check to see that it is not nechlekat yomes. Or another psul that maybe if we have time we'll discuss. But Rav Wozner and others assume that no, that the kara itself connects the lulav. That means that even if in theory the leaf is like split, but that brown thing is going to connect it. So halachically it's all mechuber, and it's not really considered like it's split. That's Rav Wozner. It says Rav Shechter told me that he feels this psak makes sense. If that's the case, a lulav with kara is awesome, because you know that that lulav is perfectly sealed. It's not split. It's great. The only issue is that there might be a slight concern for Ashkenazim that maybe if I have the kara on the lulav, I don't fulfill my mitzvah of lulav 100% properly. You see, when we take the lulav, we have a mitzvah of na'anuim. Na'anuim means to shake the lulav. There's a machlokes Svaradim and Ashkenazim. What does shake the lulav mean? According to Svaradim, it means that you are molech umevi. You go to the different directions and that's it. Ashkenazim assume that you need kiskos ha'olam, that you have to actually shake the leaves. If you have to actually shake the leaves, so then, right, if you have a kara, if your lulav is completely encased in this brown thing, so then you can't really shake the leaves, and that would potentially not fulfill the mitzvah with all the proper things. But there is a way out. You have to be careful. What you can do is you keep the kara in the middle and you just remove it from the sides. Now, if you remove the brown stuff from the sides, don't do this over here. Some people, I saw a discussion in Reb Shmuel Eliezer Stern Sfarim, that sometimes people go to the Shukar Braminim and they try to be choshesh for Reb Yoshev Shita, so they remove the kara to check. What they're really doing is they're being mazik the lulav. They should really be paying the seller of the lulav for every lulav, because they passel it very often when they do that. Don't do that. We don't recommend it. I think buying a lulav with kara is great. There's another psul of lulav very quickly called a hemnik. A hemnik is technically a pitchfork. If the top leaf is split and it goes in two different directions, that's called a hemnik. If the leaf is straight up, one of them is straight up and the other one goes, even though there's avir, there's airspace between, most assume that's going to be kosher. Again, the Maharsham assumes that's going to be kosher unless it's going in both directions. There are traditions that the Chazon Ish was machmir on this, and that's why some people, if you have a lulav posek, like in Israel, they have people who, I have no idea how they earn money all year, but they're posek for lulav, right? That's like their job. So sometimes you have a lulav posek who's known for having a crazy hemnik. That means that he holds like the Chazon Ish, and any time that you could see a teeny bit of airspace in the top, he's why that looks like a pitchfork, and that's going to be puzzle. We assume, generally speaking, not like that. We assume that's only a problem if it goes both ways. The last issue that I want to speak about with the lulav is called the knepel. The knepel is when the top leaf folds over. It says in Shulchan Aruch to try to avoid that type of lulav, although the Rush himself felt that this type of lulav was lechatchila. This is the preferred type of lulav according to the Rush. But lemaisa, we try to avoid those types of lulav. There's some chassidim who are into a knepel, and they assume that when in Shulchan Aruch it says that if it's kafur, if it's a problem, that means if it's bent over a very considerable amount. What you have that's just bent over a tiny bit at the top, that's not the type of knepel that would passel the lulav. Again, it's probably preferred to get a lulav that's all the way straight and doesn't bend over. Some people say, well, if you have kara, you don't know. Maybe it's bent over and you don't notice. The answer is, if it's bent over such a small amount that because of the brown encasement you can't tell, that's not going to be a problem. There's a lot more to say about the psulim of lulav. Hadas min arevels is mamish, almost nothing to look for. You can't do anything. They all come in the plastics. You should buy them. It's a good idea, though, to buy an extra set of hadasim, certainly, and to buy more arevels during the yontif, because they often dry up and they often become problematic as the yontif goes on.